Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And this satsang, this Aspire radio program, is being recorded for Sunday, June 25th, 2017. And I am so deeply grateful that you chose to be with us. And we're going to take a look at what it means to have service to humankind. I recently got about four or five emails on this subject in the past month or two, and I would be happy to share them with you. I want to remind you that this radio program, as well as our TV programs on our Aspire website, are all there strictly because of sponsorship. People who care enough about humankind to offer their quarterly and monthly donations to serve humankind in this way, in the only way it can really be served, and that is through the spirit, through the quality of a relationship, not with, you know, this idea of religion or philosophy, but through the direct experience of what we are as consciousness. And I think you'll find our radio program, as well as our TV programs, very helpful in all of this. So if you have found help in any and all of this, I hope you will become a sponsor. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see there on the front page support, of course, obviously. And if you pull down that menu, a sub-menu will come out and it will tell you why support Aspire, and it will help you understand where your donations go, and that they are, of course, tax deductible, and that you will be receiving quite a few gifts for your beautiful donation to sustain help to humankind. Okay, so go take a look. Let's talk a little bit about humankind. Let's talk a little bit about us as sapiens. Let's talk a little bit about what it means to serve humankind. There's only so much a person can do to help people. And I have been in this, well, I call it a mountain climbing event for over 43 years as a teacher. And it is a very difficult thing to do because you begin to find out that humans can only accept help based on their relationship with their humanity, their genetics. Basically, we live out of our genetic disposition, which connects us to our unconscious mind, which connects us to the collective unconscious, and it all just kind of fans out from there. So when we are talking about humankind and we are talking about service to humankind, we have to ask ourselves that question: what does it mean to help people? So we go in now to the questions. The first one comes from Robert. He does not tell me where he lives. What does it mean to you to serve humankind, Greg? I hear you talk about this on your radio program, which I deeply appreciate. Can humankind really be changed, Robert? Robert, to answer your question right off the bat, no, it cannot be changed. It is what it is. It is true, and I would not be telling you the truth if I said to you that all of humanity can be served and changed. It can't. You can make a human being's life more convenient. Our phones have done that. Our smart devices have done that. But that has not brought peace on earth and goodwill towards men at all, not even remotely. So technologically, you can serve humankind. You can have refrigerators that slow the process of food deteriorating, and you can cook it, and you can have medical science, which, in my opinion, of late has not made many advances at all. And you can pour money into this kind of thing. You can help the poor. You can save dying cultures with medical care and food and all of that kind of stuff. And there is nothing wrong with any of that. But my question is, Robert, how far does this go before we realize it is just a treadmill that we are on. We keep incarnating more and more people onto this planet based on low self-esteem and the feelings of insecurity from people who are living out of the pure genetics and disposition of their DNA, which is survival. So we keep living, thinking we are doing the will of a imaginary God that wants us to populate the earth. We've done that. Hello. Hello. We've done that. Now what? How do we deal with all of this? What does it mean, you say, to you, Greg, to serve humankind? For me, Robert, it is about giving to humankind the essentials that offer personal transformation. Not just changing a philosophy, but total transformation, because it's the only way to deal with this life and this lifetime. You're not going to change the world through technology unless you blow it up with a bomb. You're not going to change this world by making it more convenient. You're not going to change this world by finding a cure for cancer or heart disease or any of it. You're not going to change the world. What changes the world lives inside humankind. And if you offer humankind the seeds of personal transformation, of metamorphosis, you have done a great deal of service, because whether those seeds germinate now or later in next lifetimes and next lifetimes is a matter of real service to humankind. It helps a person in so many ways. For those of you who are just on the cusp of understanding the nature of this world, the nature of your life, the nature of living, just barely on the cusp, you received that ability to be interested enough to listen to a discourse or listen to those who have deep wisdom. Just to listen, that is an accomplishment. Even if you don't do anything about it, it germinates things inside of you and starts spreading, so to speak, the beauty of energy as it propagates parts of yourself you did not even know you had. Consciousness, developing consciousness, is evolutionary. And it's revolutionary. Because when I am no longer in the midst of my genetic disposition and living out of my primitive DNA, the matter of just survival, no matter how the mutation may look now, just the idea of survival, I have come to a place where it is possible for me to begin a journey, Robert, that is beyond the conception of my human thinking. This is an amazing moment in humankind's history. We've had people come to us, the Buddha, Jesus, Lhasa, and many others who came to us to teach us the way, wisdom, the process. Metamorphosis. Yes, we did not listen very well, but at least we listen a little bit. And even if you hear me, Robert, just a little bit, it is enough to put a seed down within you that can germinate when you are willing and able to go beyond the whole idea of just living for gratification, living for survival, living for longevity's sake. I know people who just want to live for the sake of beating the odds, of living longer. What for? If you are not living in service to humankind, true service. If you are not living to help people awaken, if you are not, so to speak, spreading that seed into the process of human beings, humankind, sapience. You are not a serving life. You have become a part of the whole process of getting and not giving. And most people are getters, not givers. There's only two types of people in this world. The ones that give and the ones that don't. And that's truly the way it works. There are those who give little of the much which they have, as Khalil Gibran says, and they suffer the consequences of that in many different ways in their life. Nothing is more painful than turning away from the process of authentic love. Nothing. So if you are going to serve humankind, you have to ask yourself, Robert, what would serve it best? Would it be to give them a fish? Would it be to teach them to fish? Or would it be to see the bigger picture of why you and the fish exist at all? I am more interested in number three and where it takes us. What does that mean to serve humankind to me? It means giving them that which they cannot conceive through their Homo sapien kind of mentality, where we are just living to survive. It is giving the essential, laying down the core of the essential, of kind of being a spiritual farmer, where you lay down the place where the seeds can grow and manifest and have the best chance of maturing and serving humankind. And that's what I do, day in, day out. There are those that get it and those who don't. And even the ones that don't get it are still susceptible to the seeds I lay deep inside of them when I am teaching, such as right now. You are getting something through all of this. What it is, you may not understand, but it is there, and it goes against the collective unconscious, which is so very important to do. Very important. I hope that helps you understand me a little bit. But please forgive me. Namaste. You know, technology is a wonderful thing. I don't deny it. I enjoy it. I love it. It's serving you right now. I would never be able to do this program if it weren't for technology. But it's got to go past that. You've got to get to the meaning of what it is that serves humankind through technology. The medium is not the message. The next question, it comes from Nancy in Long Beach. If we are what we are, why rock the boat and try to change things? It's been this way for thousands of years. Aren't you pissing against the wind, Greg? Nancy. Yes, Nancy, I am. But what I am sending out, if it comes back to me, it is a beautiful thing. It isn't like urine. It is more than that. I understand what you're saying. Isn't this futile? I never see very much, if at all, any of the fruits of my labors. I have many different types of students. I have the looky-loos and the ones who are visitors, and then the ones who want to think that they're true students, and then I have those who think they're enlightened, and it goes on and on and on. But you have to understand, I'm not in this for results. Nancy, if I were in this for results, I would have quit years ago. And many of my friends and colleagues who did do that are either still plugging away in futility and anger about it, or have quit. It is easy to quit on humanity. It truly is. Most people do. And there's a reason for it. Because the intent is to see some kind of fruit for the labor. But I am not in that. I learned that long ago, way long ago. You can't change people. And I am not here to change you. I'm not here to make you a better person. I am not here to further you. I am here to show that you don't need you. And if you can catch on to that, if you can acquire that state of consciousness through meditation and inner work, you will start to realize what I have realized, that futility is in the eyes of the beholder. If you want to be futile, it is futile. If you want to sustain futility, you can sustain futility. But never do things for the sake of making things the way you want them to be or I would like them to be. Things unfold, people unfold the way they do. It is the effort to treat people with the greatest respect and kindness you can, and to not to create dismal dispositions in people where you look at them and you make them feel bad about themselves for being so, well, selfish or not, and or ugly. My effort is to try to help people awaken, not go to sleep. It is a very difficult thing because people like depression. People will tell you, oh, I don't want to be depressed. But that is not true. They like depression. Depression gives them a sleep, a deep, profound coma that they enjoy where they don't have to do anything but sit in their own juices and die in them. You have to learn to understand what you can change and what you can't, Nancy. I have long ago learned what I can change and what I can't. I can only change me. I can't change you. I can't make you understand how important personal transformation is, transcendence is. I can't make you understand metamorphosis. I can't make you understand the value and the power of staying in an authentic spiritual practice and not allowing the unconscious mind to take you out. I cannot inspire you either. I can't inspire you not to make up stories and myths and make allegations about the spiritual practice and how wonderful it is or how it isn't. How could I ever do any of that? Jesus could not do it. A Buddha could not do it. So you have to understand what the premise of the teachings are. They're not about getting what we want. The premise of the teachings is evolution, true evolution. Evolution where we learn how to live with the Homo sapien, the human, through the divine. And how to live from that divine and service and take care of the human, but not get involved as a human to the human. When you break that cycle of involvement, you have done something extremely beautiful. And it's substantial. It changes everything in the course of human history. You can do this. Anyone can do this. The beauty of it is all it takes is a little practice. Spiritual practice is very important. It should be the most important thing in the course of your lifetime. And you will need help with it, no matter what you may think. I have students who are very arrogant. I've had people come that are very arrogant. The looky-loos are always arrogant. When they have an agenda about what they want the spiritual practice to do for them or give to them, they are not givers. They are takers. and they only give in order to be seen of men and to kind of fulfill their moral obligation as they see it. Guilt and shame has a lot to do with that. I do not go there with that, and I do not promote that. Yes, I rock the boat. Yes, my voice is very small compared to the shouting and screaming that's going on in other venues of this world and other places in this lifetime. But I'm for the one who's on the cusp, a little bit over, and realizes the value of stillness and silence, non-duality. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. Is it my karma to be here in this world of hate and fear? In this human body, Greg? Alex. Yes, Alex, it is. But karma is not punishing you. No karma punishes. If I feel insulted by all of this, then I miss. I do not understand what is really going on here. And I have relinquished the inner way for the sake of pride and ego. No, no, no. Don't go there with that. That will not serve you well. That will not help you at all. Follow your karma. Live with it. If I am here due to my karma, which I am, why get all in a fuss about it? Why not just enter into that karma? Enter into that life? Enter into the whole experience? But do it not with the idea of changing it from my psychology, but develop consciousness, the ability to go in, to profoundly go within oneself. To realize, I am that. I am not this. I am not a human. I am not what my thoughts project. I am that. I am that which is unspeakable, unconscionable, indelible. If you can sit with that in meditation, if you can awaken through the tones and vibrations of your beautiful energy body, you can do many wonderful things with the course of your lifetime. You can sustain compassion, forgiveness. You will not allow the human body to get in the way of your evolution. You will find metamorphosis. You will understand the nature of your own life and the purposes of being here. And what a privilege it is to have these direct experiences. You will have that. You can have that. In fact, you are that. And once that is deeply realized and understood, the measure of your life will not be in accomplishments in this world. The measure of your life will be in the kindness of your heart and following that rather than trying to correct other people, make other people wrong while you believe yourself to be right. It will be about so many wonderful and beautiful things. You can do this. Very few try, but you can do this. And that is what makes life so interesting and so powerful. We forget who we are. We forget what we are. And we forget the meaning of all of that in the face and the course of our own lifetime. It is deeply significant and important. Who knew? Follow your karma. Don't make it your enemy. It doesn't need to be your enemy, Alex. All it needs to be is your guide. And it is trying to help you, whether you and I know it or not, to become free, to transcend, to have metamorphosis, to be the beauty the light of this world. Please forgive me. Namaste. I hope this helped. I really do. If you want more information or you would like to ask a question, please feel free. Come to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org. There you will see media. And if you click on that, you'll see Satsang with Siraj. You can click on that and email me from there. And you can listen to all my past and present and future radio programs. Have a wonderful day. And once again, please forgive me. Namaste.